Now presents The Green Room, brought to you by Audible.
So when we got the opportunity to have Flesh and Bone from Bone Thugs and Harmony, of course, who's going to say no to that? Very nice, very sweet guy. He was very honest and real about the entire, anything we asked him. Nothing was off the table, and he had an answer for everything.
One funny thing, I was working at a restaurant, and they were playing Bone Thugs like as we're setting up the restaurant. And we had an older manager, probably a little bit younger than my dad. And they told him the name of the group, Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Love them.
But he called it, he said, "Will you turn that Bone Daddy down?"
And,
and so every time that we actually referred to that manager as Bone Daddy. And then a guest heard us say that, and it just kind of spiraled out of control at that
Which
point.
Is a great restaurant, by the way, in the DFW area.
Yeah.
But anyway, here is an interview I'm very proud of. Flesh and Bone from Bone Thugs and Harmony from December 8th, 2015. We have a living legend in the studio right now.
Yes,
a living legend.
God willing.
Flesh and Bone of Bone Thugs in studio. What's up, Flesh?
Man, what's going on, y'all?
How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great.
You look at yourself like a living legend because you are a living legend to a lot of people.
I look at myself as an ambitious, hungry. When I mean by hungry, I mean by a thirst for life. A thirst for growth, a thirst for human advance, a thirst for trying new stuff, new inventions, like stuff like that.
That's a good answer.
So in other words, an artist, maybe.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, yes.
But that's awesome. I mean, but do you realize, like, you were signed to, and I'm sure you realize it, Eazy-E's record.
Most certainly,
company in 1993.
Yes, indeed.
Right? So it's 22 years ago. I did the math prior to the show. That's
okay.
All I know.
All right, yes, indeed.
Did you realize 22 years ago that people would still be singing your songs to this day? That you would still be packing out concert venues to this day? Did you even think about that 22 years ago?
Absolutely not. 22 years ago, I was worried about how many guns I'm polishing up every night before I go to bed and everything. Yeah. It was wild. I was 18, 19 years old. When I met Eric Wright, I was 18 years old. I was wild as the Tasmanian devil in so many ways and everything. And it never dawned on us that we were actually doing something that was going to be around and have such an impact on so many people's lives, not just in America, but everywhere. So, no, it never... I was too busy, you know, running wild and everything. But now, almost 10 years after prison, post-prison for me, everything, now I'm back and everything. And it's like the career has even blossomed to even higher heights, even right now.
Yeah.
Right now, we're currently unsigned. Of course, we started off in a game with Ruthless Records. It moved over, you know, we did some stuff with Relativity Records that was once around, and did my first solo joint with Def Jam. And then when I got locked up, the guy signed with Interscope, and then from Interscope and went to Warner Brothers. And right now we're currently getting ready to try to do some single deals with maybe one of those guys and get signed again in order to kick down the door of more Grammy nominations and award nominations and stuff of that nature. We're coming up on the dawn of our 25th year anniversary.
Wow. So it's very, very cool. Congratulations. Crucial. But isn't independent the way to go now? Is
that's
it most
what
people doing independent?
Say.
Well, yeah, that's what you think. You feel what I'm saying? Because no one on the top Billboard 100 is independent. Think about it.
That's true.
No one is being nominated for Grammy Awards that are independent. Think about it. You can make a lot of money. You can make quite a bit if you have a nice little a structure, a nice team, you know, full-fledged top in-house team and everybody, you know, add a couple of PRs, A&Rs, or whatever the case may be.
Sure.
And in-house and stuff of that nature. You can't benefit off the residuals and money that's can come from being an independent artist. That's no question. However, if you want to go to another height, call it mainstream, call it traditional radio, and things of that nature, you have to apply all machines in order to be able to do stuff like be Rock and Roll, Rolling Stones,
right,
Double XLs, and even your local news channels and stuff of that nature, or to even be looked at to be nominated for a Grammy. I'm about winning another Grammy.
How many Grammys?
Harmony will win another Grammy.
How many Grammys did you guys win?
We've won 2 Grammys in our career.
Wow.
Nominated for many.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Almost everything you produced was a hit, though, too.
Everything we produced is a hit, sir. Yes,
yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And not,
I mean, everything.
Cocky,
I'm sorry.
Not anything cocky. That's not to say anything cocky. We're the most humble. You can, you know, we deal with our fans, you know, hand in hand, and we talk to our fans. We get up close and personal. We find out what's going on in their lives and stuff of that nature. Find out, and they let us know how much and where we influenced, helping help bring them up to one degree or the other. So, it's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing. It's like it's a huge weight to carry. I wouldn't wish this on nobody. Trust me. It's cool. They want to become famous and everything, but it's a whole.
It's a hard life.
It's a hard life, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the beginning. Is it true that Bone Thugs and Harmony, the original name, was Band-Aid Boys?
Yes, that's true.
Is it really?
I used to wear my Band-Aid right here on the top.
Is that when? Is that where Nelly got it?
That's when. Well, it stunned us that Nelly would actually do that. It was like, wow, just like he brought back the Band-Aid Boy concept and everything.
See, I always thought he just had like a ward or something. It wouldn't go away. Yeah, he was embarrassed of it.
That's you should owe y'all like a lot of money.
I'm sure it started off that way. I'm sure it started off as something like that. He had to hide it. It's okay.
Right.
We all get the pimple.
Sure.
Wow. We all get the pimple in black.
He was young. He was like 18, 19, you know, when he first started out. Probably embarrassed.
Yeah, exactly.
You look it up. You don't really know where the name Bone Thugs and Harmony comes from. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of story about that.
Well, the name Bone Thugs and Harmony, of course, Band-Aid Boys, you know, when I was a Band-Aid Boy, my name was B.D. Rock, B-E-A-T-E-R-O-C-K, B.D. Rock, turned into flesh and bone, get it?
So it's gotcha,
like,
okay.
And as a teenager, as an itty-bitty, was, you know, beatboxing and, of course, rapping and stuff like that. And then around junior high, going into high school, it turned into Bone Enterprise. It's just Bone Enterprise, like, you know, welcome aboard the Enterprise, Bone Enterprise.
Right.
And then it morphed again. It transformed again into when we met Eazy-E. By the time we got out there, we were still Bone Enterprise. And he came up with the ideas. And it was like, it was like, y'all should be called Bone Thugs. Bone Thugs in Harmony. He was like, you know, one of us shouted out Bone Thugs in Harmony, and that's Eazy helped create that. It was great.
That is so awesome.
Now, how was Eazy? I mean, okay, so new, I would say interest is going into Eazy right now because of the movie Straight Outta Compton.
As it should.
And people didn't recognize, at least this generation of people didn't recognize how much of a genius he was.
He was an amazing marketing genius. He was amazing when it came down to being able to create exposure.
Yeah.
He was the mastermind of that. You can look at our first album, covers. Eazy took all of the pictures of that. He was the man behind the camera for all of the photos that you see Bone in. 1993 and 1994, 1995, Eazy was the guy. He was with the camera. He was doing it all in-house and everything. He was like, push the line and everything. And always going to the radio stations, pushing up on the A&Rs and the DJs and stuff of that nature.
He truly believed in his artist.
He truly did believe in his artist and everything. And when he met Bone Thugs and Harmony, oh my God, you should have saw his eyes lit up when he first saw us rap. It was like this is like the first thing out of his mouth. He couldn't even say that was hot.
Right.
First thing he said was, what's the plan?
Right.
What y'all want to do? What y'all got?
He was already sold. Yeah, he assumed the sale. He's ready to get you guys on the road.
He was ready to get us on the road. That's exactly what he did.
Wow.
And that's what real businessmen do. They don't beat around the bush, because we ran into a lot of people that was like, y'all hot, but you know,
right?
But he was the first one
that believed in you.
Yes.
What can we do with you?
Yes, indeed. He did.
And now, you know, all these rumors are coming out now.
Yes.
All these years later that, you know, Shook Knight is the one who killed Eazy, gave him the HIV in a drink or so. What do you think about this whole thing?
Well, you know, speculate, man. It's so much, you know, God knows best.
Right.
So we can say this and we can say that Shook Knight was stupid enough to admit on national TV that he's had something to do with it. But you know what? Still, at the same time, you never know. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, only Eric Wright and God knows whether or not he was dealing with something else prior, or if he knew, or whatever the case may be, because it's, you know, so many different stories out there. It's just like this, you can speculate. But like I say, God knows best. And for Shook, I think Shook was doing some type of publicity stunt when he did that. It was awful. It made him look ugly. It was a tyrant anyway. You know, Suge Knight was a tyrant anyway. and you know, really was out of control with respects to he was able to head up one of the greatest hip hop companies that ever existed, and it drove him crazy. I feel bad for the man, you know what I'm saying? He was unable to maintain, it just went crazy. He admitted that, and it kind of like throws extra speculation in what right. actually what the truth actually is,
especially now, with that movie. Now the guy that played he looked like, first off, he didn't look anything black, he looked like it was an Arab dude that played Trick Knight.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the way they portrayed him in that movie,
yeah,
really makes you think that maybe he had something to do with, you know, Tupac and everything. Like,
I still haven't seen it, and like, this is all my childhood right here. Yeah. So I'm super in love with everybody.
By the way, Eazy-E dies, and Dr. Dre does. I don't want to spoil it for you, but
I haven't seen it.
But
my brother saw it. He said it was incredible.
No, I was going to say, is it true to the story?
The movie written, it was. I'm not going to spoil it for everybody out there that enjoyed the movie. It was a great effing movie.
Right.
You went to the movie theater with your popcorn, your hot dog, and your Sprite, and
right.
it was a great movie. However, no, it was not true to the story.
Okay.
Here's why it was not true to the story. Because the last 2 years of Eazy-E's life, okay, we met Eazy-E in 1993 around September or something like that. And when he passed, it was 1995. So that last 2 years of his life, Eazy-E was smoking hot on top of it. Even though he was sick, it was like a weird contrast because he was sick, but he was happy as hell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He had Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Doing what he loved.
He was rich. He had money.
These guys are making him money.
And he was banging and bragging because nobody F with Bone Thugs and Harmony, nobody at Death Row, Snoop, Dre, Cube, Yella, I don't care who they are, DOC, could none of them fade Bone Thugs and Harmony, and still can't nobody fade Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Man. You know what? Yeah.
Come see me.
Right.
Come see
now,
me.
DOC is going to be in here in a couple of months.
That's my homie.
He's a great guy.
DOC is one of the artists that I tailored myself behind. Where do I get my inspiration from? DOC is one of them.
Yeah.
DOC is hot, but still.
He couldn't touch you guys.
Eazy-E was the man, and he was doing his thing, and he was trying to get the support of everybody because here he had this new group that done did something new. You feel what I'm saying? Everybody was kicking fast rap and everything, but Bone Thugs and Harmony came around and said, we'll spit some fast rap on you. But then when we all start kicking them harmonies, you didn't know what to think. Like, wow.
Yeah.
It was a new style.
Yeah.
It was a new invention. It was innovative.
Yeah.
Eazy-E invested in that, and he did that. So he was on top of the world, man.
Would it be fair?
And they didn't show that.
Would it be a fair comparison to say that Eazy-E was more like a Steve Jobs of that industry?
Yes, he was. He was more like a Steve Jobs of the industry, where he was able to be the guy that fast-paced everything as far as hip-hop, because he did it with N.W.A., and then by a miracle, he turned around and did it again with Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
Yeah.
For real.
It's a hit machine.
Yes.
It's
hit
like
machines.
That.
Hits. The super group N.W.A., super mega group Bone Thugs and Harmony. Can't take away from him. So, he was a very happy, he was like grinding so tough, and this was why he's heartbroken when he was in there in that hospital, or whatever, because he had other ideas he was trying to implement with respects to making sure this group, Bone Thugs and Harmony, kicked down the doors and do what they were supposed to do. And by God, we did that. Came out triple platinum.
Yeah.
Mm. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Within a week, you feel what I'm saying?
Do y'all remember when the Crossroads video came out, though?
No, I never saw that. I still have a memory of that.
I do.
Yeah,
that was my moment. Like, yes.
So, you know, I still remember that.
Yeah,
and even that record, Crossroads came out on East 1999 Eternal, and Eazy was still here before, you know, Eternal came out in 1995. That's when Eazy passed.
Yeah,
you did what I'm saying. That mega success, it was like, oh man, it was, to have a song, Bone Thugs and Harmony has been able to tap into something that's called motivation. It's called inspiration. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The world can't get enough of it. And you, wherever that motivation and inspiration come from, you're going to draw into that. And this is what Bone Thugs and Harmony did. We reminded people that, of course, you deal with loved ones that have departed before you.
Right.
Bone Thugs and Harmony came along and reminded you of this. Like, everybody always shy away from death. Why do you want to shy away from death? You ride past the gravesite every day. You ride past the graveyard every day. Everybody's ignoring it and everything. Okay, but when you hear this song, Crossroads, yes, we're going to meet you at the crossroads.
Yeah.
This is a fact. So we tapped into that as a reminder to put people on, because so many, everybody can relate. We create music that all human souls, no matter what your creed or color, age, whatever the case may be, we create music that all people can inspire.
When you're on that stage and you look out at your crowd,
mm-hmm.
is it a mixed crowd? It's got to be, right?
Bag of M&Ms, man. A bag of Skittles.
And then how does that make you feel, though? As an artist mm-hmm. that's trying to portray what they feel back mm-hmm. 22 years ago and today, uh-huh. and you look back out and you're like, not only is this touching people that I grew up and yes. was around, it's mm-hmm. touching people in mm-hmm. totally different walks of life.
Yes. Inspirational music is timeless. Look at Marvin Gaye. Look at Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
All of these greats. Inspirational stuff like that don't mean we're not going to make music about kicking butt.
Right.
Ass,
yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If we're a freestyle and doing what we do, of course we're going to talk about the drinks, the ecstasies, the pills, the weed and stuff of that nature and all that. Yes, we're going to do that. But the element of innovation and motivation and inspiration has to be there. You feel what I'm saying? And it transcends time. It's timeless. So we're very fortunate. We're the lucky ones. We're some of the lucky ones. And people ask me all the time, well, how do you do this? What's the key? What do you do? And what's the drive? And what's the motivation and everything? And it's just really hard to answer that question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that song, Crossroads, that stands mm-hmm. out a lot to me because mm-hmm. I really think to be part of the 90s was such a blessing, you know, because mm-hmm. I feel like the music then was so on top of the world.
Yeah.
How do you feel about music today?
Yeah. Well, what about the rap industry today?
Well, sometimes you got to be able to, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the world today, guys. You got to be able to pay attention and be cognizant and be aware enough to see what's going on. First of all, a lot of music is stripped of all, it's just like, you know, sometimes it's like, it's just a moral issue. You dig what I'm saying? And it's like, it's a push to make people feel more as if, to hell with responsibility. It's just, free. It's like, just sleep all day, with drink all day, F all day, and all. No, it's not about that.
That's what
you know
we
what
miss.
I'm saying?
That's what we miss with the 90s, because I feel like, I grew up on N.W.A. and Mac 10, mm-hmm. Ice Cube.
Right. As you can tell.
Yeah. Don't even.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah. My hip-hop side will come out.
Really. Right.
No, but and what I liked back then is always like some type of message, like Public Enemy. Like mm-hmm. everything was like political and yes. some type of movement. And mm-hmm. now I don't really see that much.
And you know, that is very true, because even TLC was doing that. Like all their songs had a meaning behind mm-hmm. it. And speaking of TLC, it's so cool to see so many of the people of the 90s coming back.
Yeah.
So thank God y'all are still around, because I feel like music today is kind of soulless.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
And it makes me happy. Like Missy Elliott's back. Thank you,
and
Jesus.
It's like you can't take the soul out of music. This is like, no matter what your path is, your walk of life, your creative path, it has to have that spirit of the message, because we each one teach one. We have children in this world, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Even lessons should be drawn from the music or whatever, when the sculptures and whatever, the portrait, the painting and everything. Right. It should be a lesson. It should be a message in that. Mm-hmm. Not how much of a line of cocaine you can snort.
Yeah.
Okay, to each his own. But still, with the difference between today's hip hop and the 90s hip hop was, it was more, the artists were more attentive and cognizant of creating the message. And then, to me, you're not a real artist unless you can take a message and be lyrically creative and putting the message, even if you're talking about something gangster. Don't twist it. Bone Thugs is still gangster. We'll crack you upside your head. we're trying to teach the world something here. We got babies out here, man. We trying to teach them something. We trying to teach them how to be independent, strong, and responsible, and moral individuals, okay? And how to be tough and kick butt at the same time. You dig
like
what I'm
that.
Saying? Don't take away nothing. But still, if your music is watered down, washed down, and all you can talk about is the size of your diamond, you need to get out of the way and let somebody else in come in really got something to say. Get it in.
So wait a minute. Are you saying Drake's Hotline Bling is, you know, not saying anything? I mean, what's going on here?
You know, Drake is from Canada. He don't count.
Okay. All right. We'll give Drake a pass.
But I love Drake, though. He tips his hat to Bone Thugs. I respect. See, this is one of another thing that's kind of like ironic and funny to me because a lot of these youngsters, Kendrick Lamar, Drake, Lil Wayne, all of the hot rappers love Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah.
Every you got to. Them, especially every, if you grew up in the 90s, you have to.
They praise Bone Thugs and
You're
Harmony.
You're the godfathers.
Like, yes, yeah, it's like bone this, bone that, bone this. I love them. Like, if Wayne... I'm trying to see how many hot lines Lil Wayne can put Bone Thugs in. Every time Lil Wayne turn around, he say something dope about Bone Thugs and this, that, the others. Dude is hot. I love him.
Yeah.
Embrace him. They're my brothers and everything. And it's only a few. It's just like there are some artists out there, I say they raping the game because they really ain't got nothing to say.
Right.
And that's just the way it is.
Now, who is that? Well, draw some names here.
I'm not going to draw no names.
We see the Macklemore. Memes. You see the memes on Instagram.
I'm back. Yeah.
You've seen the memes where you see lyrics of today and lyrics of like back then, how
Isn't
people
crazy?
Actually gave something, you know?
They did. This is like, that's why, you know, that's why I say that you can't take away from great, great music. It's timeless. You
right.
Know, especially the ones that had, it's the ones that were able to be brave enough to say, you know, I want to talk about a subject that people don't want to talk about. And you put it out there and it's like, bam, all of a sudden you got a hit, you know? So, but yeah, and but unfortunately you do have to hear now, going tomorrow type situations because of the path that they choose. It's all on choice.
Right.
I went to my Facebook and I told everybody we're going to be interviewing. They're like, oh my God, you got to ask them, how was it working with Mariah Carey? A lot of people want to know in the breakdown.
That's from
song.
That community.
Yeah. Right.
My community wants to know. Mariah, how is it?
Mariah Carey, another artist that has admitted and shared her experience with her influence of Bone Thugs and Harmony and the style of Bone Thugs and Harmony. Very, very beautiful spirited individual. Beautiful woman, in fact. And highly creative, highly talented, and I pray to God that she continues down her God-given path of creating great music. She's a great individual. She
and that was
great.
A good song too.
She rolled out the red carpet for us. Me and my brothers did tend to get a little bit, you know, hillbilly-ish drunk up in there, and made everybody nervous. You know, we, you know, working with her was a pleasure and a privilege and an honor and everything. We did get kind of crazy. You know, they invited out. She actually flew us on a private jet. We was G6'd out. I flew
right.
All the way out there, man. It's freaking amazing, man.
Now, you guys are the only people that have worked with Tupac, Biggie Smalls, Eazy-E, and Big Pun while they were still alive.
How yes, funny. That was my next question. Though. How weird.
Isn't that crazy?
Weird. I was about to ask you about that. That's so weird.
Make us feel like, kind of like, you know, it's so, it's like.
Well, I can do a Biggie Smalls impression. Want to hear it?
Let me hear it.
Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this.
That's good.
Did
good.
It sound like I was? Yeah. He was right here?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's a legend. Just tell me that I did a great job at that. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You just brought him back in the booth and everything. You did.
Wow.
It's amazing, man. It makes Bone Thugs and Harmony, one of the things we do express is the fact that we're the only group alive that has so many different accolades. One of the accolades is that we have worked with Biggie, Easy, Tupac, Big Pun. It's a great situation because we know that as we move into the future and everything, of course, Bone Thugs and Harmony is still looking good. We're still healthy. We're able to, you know, we're still as highly creative today as we were back then. And we still have our eyes set on being able to work with more greats that are out here. Like Jay-Z is one of them. You know what I'm saying? I don't think we did anything with 50, stuff like that.
He needs some money too. I'd jump on one of your tracks too.
No, them dudes don't need no money, man. Them dudes is doing very, very well.
Jay-Z.
I'm very proud of them.
Who's somebody out now, like a current artist that you would want to work with?
It all depends because, because you never know how or what ways we can influence and help anybody and any individual.
Whose career are you watching though? Like a young guy or a young girl, whatever it is. Whose career are you kind of eyeing to see what they do? Who's got your interest right now?
Well, I'm really not going to say.
Okay.
I'm really not going to say because, you know, you can't take away. You never know when, you know, some of these guys are going to create something that's really, really groundbreaking.
Yeah.
You're just gonna blow up.
So I'm gonna leave that up in the air and I just tip my hats off. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of guts for anybody. It's really, you know, whatever part of the game they contribute to, it still takes a lot of guts and a lot of courage to say, you know what? I'm gonna get on this microphone and I'm gonna write my ideas down and I'm gonna get out there and I'm gonna express myself. It takes a lot of courage to do that.
Because you're stripping yourself down.
Yeah.
This is like who I am right here.
Right. So who's to say somewhere down the line of what type of epiphanies they may have to be inspired to do this or that and other. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be doing some type of good, greatness, whatever, to some type of degree. Mm-hmm. So we'll leave that at that. And then hopefully these guys understand that you picking up a banner, you're like a beacon of light, and you got to be able to express yourself. And like I say, each one teach one. At some point, you got to be able to do some type of good with what you're doing, no matter what you're doing. Even if it's rapping, if it's producing radio stations, if it's television, if it's the
what about the
engineer,
guy that gets the coffee,
like the guy that does the coffee,
or Sarah.
the guys that mix the concrete, the guys that lays the steel, that, you know what I'm saying, all of that, that lays the bricks for the building, the guys that makes the clothes, the stitching, and stuff like that. It's like everybody has to have that, whatever it is. You have to, you know, understand how to do what you got to do and contribute to that.
Did you have this type of wisdom 22 years ago?
Oh, good question.
Unfortunately, I did.
You did? Okay.
I only did up to a year in college, because halfway through college, and I was already rapping. I considered myself one of the best rappers even back then. And then I was kind of like...
You kind of seemed like philosophical. Mm-hmm. We had a good conversation before this,
I was a philosophy undergrad economics major.
Okay.
So politics and philosophy.
Gotcha.
That's me. Yeah. So that's it went well with the poetry that I was trying to write back then too, and still today. But didn't go back to school because I wanted to pursue greater dreams. It was like, it's cool, you know, all the professors, whatever the case may be, was like, okay, you can do this, you can do that. Of course, that's what school is for, to find out what you're best at and everything. And then I felt that, you know, I decided to after that first year summer, I decided to instead go back to school. I wanted to pursue my music career, and that's what I did. I pursued my dream, went somewhere, wouldn't take no for an answer, and here I am today.
And you're a father, right? Mm-hmm. So
yes, I am.
Today, what would you be telling your kids this today? Like, pursue your dream? Or
yes,
do you think education is important?
I am the greatest professor that my kids will ever have.
Okay.
You dig what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Yes, and I tell them that you must be on a road to being career-oriented, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. You get there, I don't even want you to ask me for my help, because I didn't have no help. Mm-hmm. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be the crutch in your life to make you to end up lazy as hell or bum somewhere. I'm not going to be that crutch. You know, my daddy, you know, get that out your mind. Mm-hmm. Check this out. This is how this worked. My grandfather instilled in me, my father, I'm a military brat, right? So you either going to get yourself together out here in the workforce in the field, or you're going to join the military. You're going to help keep this country great. Because either which way you go, still, this country is great because of the powerful workforce, the powerful people that come here, whatever. You can come here legally, of course, whatever. You know, we can talk about the illegals too. They're really trying them, because they know freedom is freedom.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
So that we get over here and everything, and everybody contributes to what consists of a great nation, especially the military. So I try to tell my children, and I try to teach them to be independent, first, God-fearing for once. It's like, I can hear what you're doing in the next room, dude. This, what's, you know, come to me. It's like, okay, you know, I just, it's like, you know, you want to lie to me, right? I'll say, so if I can't put the fear of God, you know, if you can't be fear of God, you know, if you can't have the morality enough to not lie to me, understanding that it ain't even about me. God created you. I'm just the procreator. You dig what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I try to teach them these concepts and everything to help them to manifest the excellence that they were created to be.
Mm.
This is my job as a parent.
Yeah.
God created all human life to be free. And fortunately for us here in America, America is the only country that has solved slavery, solved the lack of freedom as a problem, and has worked hard to ratify it.
Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying? The worst war in human history that was ever fought was the Civil War to eradicate slavery. No many people has ever died in any one given war except the one that America fought against itself to correct this wrong. Mm-hmm. And we've corrected it.
Yeah.
This is how great America is. And I make my kids understand this. What, some the teachers making you write a paper on what? To say that what? America, what? You should be ashamed of what? No. You should be expressing the excellence of this country and the fact that we're the only people on earth that creates a, an environment for a human life to fully express his human life, man. That's us. Embrace it. Accept it. Okay? Or get out of this country and go somewhere else. Go to Venezuela. Go to Cuba. Get the F out and go to Cuba. Get out.
Yeah.
If you're not going to help this country remain standing strong, get the F out.
You have no business being here.
We can tell you're not democratic.
So, even Democratic, Republican, it don't matter. You contribute to making this country great. Right. Ideologies are meant to be ideologies. You dig what I'm saying? Compromise is everything. You dig what I'm saying? Which breeds wisdom. You're supposed to have a cabinet. You're supposed to have a round table. You're supposed to put ideas out there. You're supposed to apply work. Flat out.
Yeah.
My house get it all day.
I love the passion you have.
I know.
Dude.
This
you
is great.
You make me feel like a better person just listening to you.
I want to take you out to a bar and just sit around and talk about philosophy all day.
I have another fun question for you. A lot of people want to know, is it true you're working on Beyonce's new album?
Oh.
Well, we would love to work on Beyonce's new album. Her and many other people at that. You know, and this is what Bone Thugs and Harmony is. We're trying to like kind of like see who can we get our hands on and like kind of like help tailor some new stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's been speculated and everything. I'm not going to say anything more about it. So
yeah, a lot of people ask me like, oh, ask about the Beyonce album.
Yeah. It's something, you know, me and the guys. Just see, between me and the rest of the guys, we have our hands in a little bit of everything.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so we have so much going on right now. And that's just one of the things that's been put out in the air. And you know what I'm saying? It's going to take Jay-Z not being nervous to let Beyonce kick it in the studio with five crazy ass stuff.
Now, what did you think about Dr. Dre's album? His last album, Compton, came out.
Right.
What did you think about it? Did you listen to it?
Yes, indeed. I enjoyed it. But I didn't think it was some of Mr. Andre's
best work.
Best work.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think it's like for example, he's a producer,
right?
And he's a writer,
right?
And he's a mega entrepreneur and everything. But I think it was something that was half-heartedly put out there because
it was rushed. It definitely was rushed.
You know, and even with the excitement about what the Detox album could have been, you know, somebody like Dre is really, really gonna you have it.
Yeah,
he's gonna let you have it. And I don't feel that he did that with this project. A great project nonetheless, but me,
it wasn't a good Pharrell album for
it
him.
it wasn't a good thorough all-around Dr. Dre type style album.
Right.
Look at the Chronic, for crying out loud.
I know.
Look at the Chronic 1 and 2, man, come on, man.
Yeah,
you feel what I'm saying? I would rather bump those albums than that one.
Yeah,
just to be honest with you. So yeah, but nonetheless, you can't take away from Dr. Dre his excellence at doing what he does. But still, that one record, that's like it was dope and everything, you know. And you know, I really, really wanted to hear a little bit more of him, except instead of all of the other
artists. He featured on a lot of tracks, basically.
Yes,
what he did.
He featured a lot of new up and coming artists.
Yeah.
It's cool, but for Dre, for his no man, I
want to hear Dre.
I wanted to hear him.
Yeah, I agree. All right, now some fun questions here.
Yeah.
What did you think about Key and Peele? You know, they did a skit called Bone Thugs and Homeless.
Yes, you know, I had to run up. I ran up, you know.
I don't like them.
You don't like Key and Peele? Are great. I love when you
watch them. I don't like them.
You watch that, right, Eric?
Those dudes are uncut, hilarious.
I love Key and Peele.
I can't.
I agree with you. I don't get into it too much.
That skit was phenomenal.
You know why people.
I like creativity. This is what I'm saying. The humor that Key and Peele provides to the world is amazing. You might not.
They touch on sensitive topics.
They can be so sensitive. Yeah, of course, they're supposed to.
Yeah.
It's comedy. Comedy is no rules. You know, no bars holding comedy. Trust me. That's why they did Bone Thugs and Homeless.
Right.
But I still ran up on them when they were shooting a skit at the hotel out there in San Luis Obispo, California. They had the whole that they were at a hotel that I was happening to be staying at, and I was like, you know, I walked up on the producer, was like, what's going on here, old Key and Peele? I was like, oh, I'm Flesh and Bone, Bone Thugs and Harmony. I would love to meet him. and they invited me in and everything. And
how cool.
You know, I had to get a meme. I was like, yo, man, that skit y'all know that skit y'all on, man. My name. And I was like, great job.
Now,
it was amazing, though. I really loved it, though.
On that top, have you ever like had a guy that didn't show up or whatever, had something happen to where they couldn't make it to the concert or something?
That's the life of Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Do you have like a backup bone? Like, could I audition to be a backup bone? I would like to be Funny Bone, because Funny Bone, you know, you're supposed to like Funny Bone, right?
Yeah.
But when you hit it, you don't like it. It hurts. And stuff. Right. So that's what
exactly.
I feel like that's me. And then Chrissy got in on this. She wants to be on this. She wants to be Femur Bone.
Femur.
Yeah.
Femur
you gave me that one. Yeah. I was just going to be Chrissy.
So I figured we'd do an American. Chrissy and I are going to do a duet. And you tell us if we're good enough to be on stage with Bone Thugs and Harmony.
All right, come on.
All right, ready? Wait, ready, Chrissy?
Are we going to do the song now?
Yeah.
All right.
We didn't practice this at all, so this is going to be terrible. I apologize. I'm so embarrassed. Here we are in front of a legend, and this is what's happening. Here we go. All right, Chrissy, ready?
I'm taking it country. Let's go. Oh, no, wait. I thought you were going to do the song. We're going to do...
Oh, we're actually going to... Okay.
You're off tune. Remember, right. We tried this already.
We'll just
already.
Do this. Wake up.
Wake up. It's the first of the month.
Hey. I don't think I can do it. Hey. Maybe I just be your hype man. Maybe I just be up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he was over here earlier going, bum, 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 bum.
I could just go up on stage and just be like...
like, no, please don't do that.
I don't have a problem with rap. And I don't have a problem with rapper.
Okay.
I can just do that. That's I can just go up on stage and be a hype man.
Yeah, that'll work. I think hype man
is
suitable.
I'm for hire.
Yes, indeed.
Just get with your people. They have my contact information.
Yes, indeed.
All right, so there's rumor that there's a final album coming out. Is that true?
No, it's not.
It's not true. Okay. Mm-hmm.
There'll never be a final album as long as one Bone member is alive.
Good, thank you. Mm-hmm. Because there was a rumor that I heard there was one final album that wasn't going to be released to the public because they were going to sell it on eBay for like $1 million or something. Their starting bid was $1 million.
Yeah, sometimes we like to create drama.
Yeah.
No, but it's okay. No, it's not.
I like that idea,
though. Listen. We, as long as we're alive, will never stop being created in the realm of producing music. So even if we say, you know, as a marketing tool, oh, this is my last. No, it's not going to be the last album. I'm telling you what it is.
Right.
No. And we're currently working on new music and everything right now. We're
getting
ready to try to slam out a couple of more singles going into 2016. As we push on a touring mission, we're going to try to drop a couple of new singles, videos, a new cypher. Of course, gearing up for the Bone Thugs and Harmony movie.
Oh my goodness! A Bone Thugs and Harmony movie. Do you need like a Arab looking Mexican and a white girl?
I'm not white. I'm Lebanese. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Lebanese.
Okay. Get it right.
Okay. Lebanese. Air quotes.
I am a SAG. I'm an actress. And if you need me to twerk a video,
a twerk it.
Of course, like music video.
She didn't even show up for Twerksgiving, but she'll go twerk it on.
You didn't show up for Twerksgiving.
Actually, I won't twerk anything because I'm a lady of the Lord. But
yes, even ladies of the Lord.
No, no.
You never heard twerking in church?
Lord really know how to twerk it? Because I'm just saying because it's like men of the Lord gonna bring it to you.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
You know what I'm saying? So ladies of the Lord.
Let me go look that up in scripture.
Ladies of the Lord, I'm telling you. I'm trying to tell you something. Love is powerful. When you have God, you bring in the business.
Right.
Trust me, you are.
This is a gospel that we need to everybody needs to read.
Your powerful love, especially when you're committed, when you're in a committed relationship.
Oh yeah.
When those doors close, firecrackers go off. I mean, all cannons let loose.
Right.
So you're not gonna sit up there and tell me as a lady of the Lord, especially so cool. When you're in a committed relationship, you're gonna be twerking, trust me.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we do right here. All right, let's get down.
I'd never get tired of that song.
I don't either.
Let's
jump on it. All right, so let's get down to the real serious questions here.
Sure.
What'd you think about Holly Holm knocking out Ronda Rousey? Did you watch that?
She's and Holly Holm is a great fighter. And then
a fantastic fighter.
And then sometimes, you know, what's the lady that got knocked out again? I'm sorry.
Ronda Rousey.
Ronda.
Yeah.
So Ronda, you know, seems like she had a little bit too much to drink the night before.
Just knew she was going to win.
She just felt a little bit too comfortable.
Do you think that was a little bit of like what she needed, like a little bit of like a humble pie? Do you know what I mean?
I think and everybody gets it one way or the other. Humble, this is the mystery.
Pride goes before the fall, right?
Yeah, indeed. So yes, it's one of those things. And nonetheless, you know, of course, we can all expect a rematch. Of course, they're going to try to put together a rematch and everything. But first, you got to make sure Ronda's okay because she got kicked pretty hard.
She got beat up. You know, she got destroyed.
So I felt really, really like
that video is actually funny to watch.
I know.
God forgive me, but I find it funny.
They accused her of doping.
It was a situation. I think she really, really felt got a little bit too lackadaisical. Probably didn't train too hard.
She got too ahead of herself.
Ran into a bull.
Yeah.
She ran into a bull.
Every time I brag about something, I always fall. I remember I was telling the kids in the neighborhood, I can ride this bike better than anybody, and then I fell and smashed my face open.
It happened to me once, too. I fell off a bike. Yeah. It was horrible.
Did those girls scare you?
Oh,
fighters?
Well, like, if they were like, if they ran up on you...
I would bite the shit. I would take my Dracula teeth and sink it in one of their necks.
Well, you know what's so funny? I always hear like people like with Floyd Mayweather. They're like, oh man, if he brought it to the streets, like he'd get knocked out.
I wonder if he'd be an even more dangerous fighter.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no rules.
When you got the gloves on in the ring, just nah. Those boxers, those trained fighters are trained killers. Trust me.
Now
they can do something to you. They can do something to you with their bare hands that you wouldn't even see coming. and they're not allowed to do that in the ring. UFC fighters vicious, and that's the roughest it get when it comes to legal cage or ring boxing. But those dudes is trained like that for a reason.
Yeah,
dude, then you're not gonna run up on none of these dudes talking about take it to the streets because they where you ain't no bell ringing ding ding ding.
Didn't 50 want to fight Floyd Mayweather or something like that?
I think that was before you had Kimbo Slice show up in the UFC. Mm-hmm. And he was nothing but a YouTube street fighter.
Right,
that's where they got him from.
Is Kimbo really? I didn't know that.
30 seconds, he got nailed right below the eye.
I like that name.
30 seconds later,
Kimbo Slice.
Kimbo,
and he's the size of a truck.
Yes. I got a random question.
Yeah, go ahead. This is a random question.
The other day, I saw a video of Michael Jackson, and they're trying to tell him, you know, say you like touring and stuff. He's like, but I hate touring. And it kind of like blew me away. How do you feel about touring?
Good question.
I love touring. I loved it because one of the benefits of touring for us is one of the only times that I get to spend with my brothers for one.
You know, that's
of course,
cool.
We locked up. Our wives keep us locked up, like, you know, so we caged.
They don't want to let you get
so
away.
So we're like, okay, get out this house in about 2 days. Keep this shit up.
Right.
So, it's a blessing to get out the house and spend time with my brothers, go over our format, go over our plan, go over our business. We do a lot of phone talks, of course, like that, but when we get to get out on the road, it's real serious.
It sounds like fun.
It can be fun. It can be fun, and it's just being able to still throw concerts 22 years plus later.
That's incredible, isn't it?
All it takes is single here, single here, single here, and next you know it's going to be 25 years. And this is why we take care of ourselves. We work out.
You look great.
Regimens.
You look great.
I try to take it. You know, I try to.
I feel like everything I grew up loving is hitting the 20-year mark. Yeah. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
It probably is.
It's random. I know this is random, but like the Spice Girls and Backstreet Boys are about to do a world tour together, and it's like 20-some years later.
Right.
Motley just did theirs.
Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff.
Smith is coming back. This is incredible.
Yes.
Did you guys know that you're about.com?
Okay.
Has ranked you number 12 in the list of 25 best rap groups of all time.
Wow, that's
Do you know
good.
That? Number 12. I think it's higher than that, to be honest with you.
I mean, you know.
Who goes to about.com?
You know, that's just like the same way the Rolling Stones had their own opinion about the top 10, 25 singles of all time and didn't make not one mention of Bone Thugs and Harmony, Crossroads, For the Love of Money, a Thug Love, and any of those things. So when it comes to these outlets and their humble opinion on what music is, sometimes... they don't do justice and everything like that. That's okay. Whatever numbers they got is fine. It doesn't matter.
You know where you're at.
In your heart, you know who you are.
Yes, indeed.
All right. So what do you think about Donald Trump?
I love Donald Trump.
He's huge.
Donald Trump has a vision. That's just like, you know, and I think Ted Cruz has a vision. I think Carly Fioroni has a vision.
I like her.
I think Ben Carson. Did I say Ben Carson? But I think there are a few... Republicans that have very, very groundbreaking policies that will and can work, does work, and we have to be able to figure out how.
We need something different.
We definitely see America needs to leave this whole situation alone where you have these socialist concepts that never has worked for one.
Right.
And the fact that we're still trying to implement a whole lot of socialism is ridiculous. You dig what I'm saying? So, for one, I love Ted Cruz for the fact that he says abolish the IRS. Who out here, which one of you stupid enough to want to keep giving all of your money to the IRS? You're that stupid? Get rid of the IRS, man. We don't need them. One base tax, 10 to 15%, that's all you need. Everybody that needs to be on government assistance shall be getting everything that they need. That doesn't mean we're not going to take care of our old and our needy.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes, we do need to. If you're a country, you have to surround that country with borders or else you are not a country. Doesn't mean people can't come here and contribute, not suck it like a leech.
Right.
You dig what I'm saying? You right. have to. You can't go running up in Canada talking about gimme welfare. You can't go to Australia talking and be a bum. We don't want bums.
Right.
We want people that has ideas. We want people that's going to contribute making society greater.
Right.
But like I said, everybody ain't strong and capable. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if whatever the case may be, you know, everybody to a certain degree contributes one way or the other. So we have to be able to attach ourselves to, first of all, you can say that you're liberal, you can say that you're conservative and everything, but, you know, it is what it is. But I don't care what you claim. Think about this. Do you really want the government so massive to where it controls every aspect of your life? Then you're not liberal. Do you like the freedom that you have to drive the women, you liberal women? Do you love the liberty of being able to go to the grocery store and shop without the permission of your husband? You're not liberal. It's like you say that you are, but do you really like the freedom that you enjoy? Then you're not liberal.
You need to be running for president.
Maybe we might.
We'll do that.
Maybe
Bone
we
Thugs
might.
2016. That's
my
what
wife,
I said.
My wife keep telling me, you better get your ass up in that Senate.
You can
to
be
the Senate. That's
you know, going back to Keel and Peele.
That's what my wife keep telling me.
You know how they have Barack Obama's, anger yeah. translator?
Yeah.
You could be Donald Trump's angry translator.
But this is something to be passionate about because this is a serious time. Right now.
It really
is. We need somebody that can be able to understand what it is to be able to maintain this country, yes, and make it great. Make America great again is a great slogan, but America will always be great. Because like I said, there's no country like America for one. One of the virtues that we have is that we've saw the problem of slavery and stuff of that nature and we eradicated it.
Yes.
All of the stuff that's going on in the urban communities and everything with the police and everything. The police have a job of doing everything. The parents need to look in the mirror. You mm-hmm. understand? When you let your child go out of the house, you better understand them. The authorities, you obey those who are in the authority figures
you,
as
yeah.
long as they're not bidding you to break and commit laws.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Go against your creator and all of that other stuff. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yes, you got to be able to mind yourself and all this stuff that's going on about, you know, the police. Again, the police ain't against nobody. My wife was a detective.
Oh, wow.
You dig what I'm saying?
Wow.
And she had to be able to go out there, solve a crime. When somebody kicked down some old grandmama's door and everybody there, you're going to need the assistance of the authorities to be able to
yes.
ascertain who did it and then make an arrest.
Right.
You dig what I'm saying?
We need them.
And then it's like, in our urban communities, no one's held responsible or none of them are accountable, and they running around like ravenous hyenas.
Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying? If the police pull you over, you never know. You might have got stopped for going 5 miles over the speed limit, but you might have got smashed by a truck because you wasn't paying attention, and you got stopped by the grace of God. The cop stopped you, but you want to cuss
right.
him out because he stopped you.
You're exactly right.
You see what I'm saying? It's a whole lot going on where you need to be able to understand how to gain control of your community. You dig what I'm saying? All lives matters.
Yes.
All lives matters. You mean to tell me when these youngsters are out here acting like assholes and everything, they not supposed to get checked? All lives matters. Black lives matters. Come see me because all lives matter. It ain't about you all this what's going on, man. All lives matter.
All of them.
Everybody's responsible for what you do. You're held accountable for what you do, man.
Gotta love this
flat,
guy.
Flat out.
You need
I'm
to make
for you.
You need to make YouTube videos.
You need to make YouTube videos. Yes.
Tell the world what you feel.
Flesh bone YouTube video. All right.
YouTube video.
We gotta wrap this up. We've
hold on, wait. I got 1 second.
All
one
right.
question. And this is an important question because I know that you're all about kids and you're all about politics and stuff like that. Do you think the lyrics that these kids are listening to with all the gangster rap and all this stuff, do you think that that plays into a part of why mm-hmm. they're acting this way?
Well, sometimes, yes, it does. But it all depends, like, how you tastefully color. Like, the Bone Thugs and Harmony is more gangster than we are Harmony and
stuff of that nature.
You dig what I'm saying? So it all depends. It's a level of responsibility. Responsibility and accountability goes with everything.
What if
So and it's up to the parent. You dig what I'm saying? It's up to the parent to instill in that boy or that girl self-respect and a sense of morality. Without it, you have what's going on in all of the urban cities and all of this other stuff. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah,
You know, and yes, we need to be able to keep this country standing as this shining beacon on earth, because without it, tyranny is running rampant right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have the Constitution, you have the Bill of Rights, you have freedom of religion, you have freedom of press, you have the right to bear arms, you have freedom of private property. Who wants to relinquish that? Which one of you truly wants to relinquish that? Obama's not going to relinquish his private property, right? So why push the communistic, socialistic manifesto?
That's a good question.
All right. Well, we got to wrap it up. I'm going to tell you one thing real quick before I go. Thank you so much for coming in, first off. I have an uncle, right? I had an uncle. He passed away. One of my favorite memories of him, when I was a little kid, we were in his car. It was when I just discovered rap. I was, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years old. And he put in an album. And I'm like, what is this album? It was Bone Thugs and Harmony. And that's one of my fondest memories of him, just hanging out with my uncle. Listen. So to have you here is a great honor for me.
It's an honor.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A
living legend right here in the studio.
The Green Room, brought to you by Audible. Get more show at mznow.tv.